Fisher Margarita.
You sound like you would make a great bartender.
Pretty good bartender.
Well, let's talk about the Manhattan. There are a lot of plants in that concoction, right?
Easily 20 plants.
Wow.
Yeah, so first you have the bourbon.
The internet has opened up a whole new world of medical information with a click of a mouse. But how do we know what to believe?
We'll go to the source. We'll talk with ABC News' chief health and medical editor.
Next, summer is almost here and it's travel season in Alaska. Tips for planning the big adventure.
Looking to save money and experience community living? The latest on alternative housing for boomers.
Then, must-see movies for the summer.
Horticulture intoxicating? Wait till you hear the connection. Kathy, how many times have you walked out of your doctor's office only to think of questions you wished you had asked?
Oh, it happens all the time. And getting answers from all those medical websites just doesn't cut it. Lots of advice, but all so different. There's so much conflicting information out there. It's just hard to know what to do.
So in response to the amount of misinformation that many important health decisions are based on, Dr. Richard Besser, the chief health and medical editor at ABC News, has written, "Tell Me the Truth, Doctor, easy to understand answers to your most confusing and critical health questions." You've probably seen him on Good Morning America, ABC News with Diane Sawyer, and Nightline, covering major medical stories. He joins us on the phone from New York. Delighted to have you with us, Dr. Besser.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is the most often asked question that you get from viewers?
It tends to vary. So many times I'm asked by people how they even go about finding a good doctor, or what to do if they think their doctor is giving them advice that they don't really like so much. There's this power relationship, and people often don't know where to turn, so they turn to someone they trust.
Well, and I do think that is an important point you bring up, because oftentimes, even to go ask for a second opinion, I know we patients often feel a bit conflicted about that.
Well, you feel like you're insulting them.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the hardest things for people to do, and one of the most important things to do if you have something serious going on with your health. And one of the ways that you can make it easier is if you have someone with you, a health advocate, and they can be a friend, a family member. They can often ask that tough question that you may be a little shy about asking. And so when you're talking to your doctor, they can say, this sounds great, but you know, if before we go forward, you know, what about getting another opinion? Who might you recommend? And if you can pull your doctor in on that, then it can be a really constructive thing. And you're not forced then to say, you know, I don't trust you, or be put on the spot with something that can be very uncomfortable.
Great advice. Now, diet. Every day there's a new diet book, a new fad, etc. But even though as a nation we're getting fatter, what is going on?
Well, I think the whole approach is wrong. The idea that, you know, you put on weight slowly over a number of years, and that you can undo that over the course of 30 days by doing some fad diet, it just doesn't work. You end up doing the seesaw where you take off the weight, and then you frequently will put on more weight than you took off. I try and demystify a lot of that. I think the approach to losing weight is gradual, and that's been shown to be sustainable. If you lose weight with a diet that you can't live with, then you're not going to keep the weight off. And so it's a matter of making those small changes and focusing on those little decisions you make every day that have maybe caused you to put on that weight. But if you undo some of those, they can cause you to lose the weight.
Well, this is sounding depressingly familiar, Dr. Besser. So let me ask you about eggs. One day eggs are good for us, the next day they're not, and then the next day they are again. What's the truth here?
Well, you know, eggs are one of those foods that have been demonized over time. But if you look at them, they are a really cheap, well-balanced source of protein and many vitamins. What you have to do, though, is look at them in the context of your entire diet. You can have an egg a day, and it can be totally healthy. Eggs do have some cholesterol. So you need to look at what other sources of cholesterol you have on in your diet, and whether you're one of those people who's very sensitive to cholesterol, there are a few of those, or whether you're someone who's not. If you're not one of those people where your diet makes a big difference, so much of our cholesterol has to do with how easily our body gets rid of it. And if you are somebody who gets rid of it in a normal way, eggs are a perfectly good source of nutrition in your diet, and you can enjoy an egg a day. That doesn't mean that you can have a 3 or 4 egg omelet. Or that you can pile up those eggs instead of one a day, you're having, you know, 4 one day and none the next. But a daily egg is just fine.
Well, I can tell you, my grandfather had an egg a day and he lived to be 97. So it can't be bad for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk about water. Should we drink 8 glasses a day?
Water is one of my favorite topics. We used to say, yes, you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day, and you can keep a little chart there and check them off. In reality, you don't need to do that. It's so much simpler. Your body is fine-tuned with your thirst mechanism. And if you drink when you're thirsty, and when you're thirsty, you drink water, you're doing your body a world of good. And if you're going to go exercise, drink some water before you start as during that. But you don't have to think about water. We're getting water in everything we eat. Even something like chicken is about 60% water. Vegetables are about 80% water. So through our food and what we drink, we're getting plenty of water.
Oh, good. Well, let me ask you this. This is a sort of personal question. Is it possible to be overweight and fit? We hope the answer is yes.
Well, the answer is yes. That's the good news. It's harder to be fit if you are significantly overweight. You know, as doctors, when we talk about fitness, we're talking about how well does your heart work to meet your body's needs. So, you know, if you're going for a vigorous walk, you know, do you get tired right away? Or is your heart able to pump blood and meet your body's needs in a really good way? Are your muscles in good shape? The more weight you have on your body, the less likely it is that you're going to be fit. But you can be overweight, you can be fat, you can be overweight or fat and be fit. The flip side, though, I think is important as well. You can have a great body weight and be totally unfit. You know, so the person who for whatever genetic reasons or dietary reasons is at a great body weight, they have a good body mass index. If they're not getting exercise, they're not going to be fit. And, you know, you put them on 5 flights of stairs and they are going to be totally winded. Fitness, exercise is so good for us at every single body weight. So, you know, don't let your body weight get in the way of you getting exercise. It's good for your heart. It's good for your brain. It's good for your bones. I can't say enough about getting exercise.
You're tuned in to the Two Boomer Babes Radio Hour. We're going to the source and getting some answers about some confusing and critical health questions. Our guest is Dr. Richard Besser, ABC News' Chief Health and Medical Editor. His book is called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. Doctor, we were just talking about exercise, one of my favorite topics, and I've heard that you should get at least an hour a day. Is that a combined cardio? Is it weightlifting? Is it Pilates? What's the right number?
And are there 25 hours in a day?
Exactly. You know, if you look at what is recommended by Department of Health and Human Services and CDC, it's 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So 150 minutes in a week. Well, for a lot of people, that's just not possible. Between the amount of time people are working and then commuting and doing stuff with kids and, you know, sleeping and everything else in our lives, 30 minutes a day is a lot. The good news is you will see benefit to your health with less than that. Even 15 minutes in a day, the studies have shown that if you get 15 minutes of exercise a day, and that can be divided into, you know, 5-minute chunks, it will prolong your life.
Oh, good. But are you talking cardio? What are you talking?
Well, you know, I recommend that people start slowly. And so if you're someone who hasn't been exercising at all, go for a vigorous walk around the block or around your building or wherever, you know, around your neighborhood. You know, start slowly. You can do 5 minutes, see how you feel. Then do another 5 minutes later in the day, another later, and then build on that. And what you're going to find is that over the course of a couple weeks, what was difficult becomes easy. And you're going to start to feel that real enjoyment of having achieved something. And then you add on. And you can go from 5 to 10. And if you have a friend or a buddy to do it with you, it's even more fun because you have someone to keep you company and to keep you at it. But thinking that if I don't do 30, it's not worth doing anything is a major barrier for a lot of people.
Okay, doctor, we menopausal women are really confused about this next one. Should we take calcium to ward off osteoporosis? Because we've heard that calcium now can increase the risk of heart attacks. So
yeah.
What's the truth?
You know, this is a really tough issue, you know, because as we age, especially women, our bones start to lose some of their mineralization. They lose some of that calcium. But there is increasing data that getting your calcium in the form of supplements can increase your risk of having a heart attack. It's a small increase, but it's a real increase. What I recommend is trying to increase your calcium across your diet, because then instead of getting this large chunk of calcium all at once, it's being absorbed more gradually. It's being absorbed through food, and that's a safer way to go.
And which foods give us the biggest bang for our buck with calcium?
Well, there you're going to be looking at dairy. I mean, dairy products are a really good source of calcium. You want to look for low fat sources of calcium. Dairy products. Leafy green vegetables can also give you calcium. You can get it calcium fortified orange juice. So you can look for it in those ways. You want to make sure as you're aging that your doctor is checking with you in terms of your family history. If you have a family history of osteoporosis, that's something to take into consideration in terms of your own risk. If you smoke cigarettes, that puts you at risk. Excess alcohol consumption will increase your risk. And then getting back to what we talked about already, exercise. Exercising will help you maintain strong bones, and that's another thing you can do.
And weight-bearing exercises, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, very important. I really think it's good to mix it up and do cardio and do weights. I try and do that about 3 times a week in the morning. You know, and I'm often asked what time of day is the best time to exercise. And people have done studies looking at your metabolism at various times of day. The answer to this one is really simple. The best time to exercise is the time that works for your schedule and your life. Because if you try and fit it into a chunk of time that doesn't work for you, you're not going to be able to keep it up. So just look at your day. I do it before I come to the office. I try and pay it forward so that I won't have any excuse once I hit the office as to why I'm not going to exercise that day.
Right. And I try to do it the same time every day. So if I don't, I just get out of the habit.
Yeah. You know, that kind of routine is really, really a great strategy, because you get used to it and your body starts to expect it. And then you don't even really have to think and plan as much.
Well, very, very quickly, what about aspirin? Do we take one a day to prevent a heart attack or stroke, or is it off the list?
On this one, it has to do with your risk. If you're at high risk for heart disease, a baby aspirin or a full-strength aspirin can really reduce your risk of having a heart attack or stroke. But if you're not at high risk for heart disease, although it may slightly reduce your risk of having a heart attack or stroke, this will be offset by the risk of having bleeding from the aspirin, and it's not worth it. So here, knowing your family history, knowing your own risk factors, drives the answer to that one.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, and we have like 50 more burning questions. We'll just have to have you back.
I would love to come back. This has been a lot of fun.
ABC News' Chief Health and Medical Editor, Dr. Richard Besser, thanks so much for sharing all this great info with the two Boomer Babes.
Thank you so much.
Up next, tips for planning that summer adventure to Alaska. It's a really big state. Stay with us. Support comes from Accent on Travel Rehoboth Beach with a Viking Rhine River cruise with us, the two Boomer Babes. For questions and reservations, 302-703-6154.
Bailey Chase offers a lifestyle of flexibility and choice that provides you new opportunities to experience your independence and enrich your life. For more information about the lifestyle Bailey Chase offers, visit www.integrace.org. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you planning or dreaming of a trip to Alaska this summer, but not sure where to start? After all, it's a huge state with so many things to see, and summer is a short season. Chris Valencia has some suggestions for not to be missed only in Alaska adventures. She's an editor of the 65th edition of The Milepost, a.k.a. the Bible of North Country travel. She joins us on the phone from where else? Alaska. Great to have you with us, Chris.
Glad to be here.
So if we're going to take our very first and our probably our last visit, is there one must-see region we should definitely concentrate on?
Well, you can see a lot of Alaska if you fly into Anchorage or if you drive up the Alaska Highway. A lot of people fly drive. They'll fly into Anchorage, rent an RV, and you can see quite a bit of South Central and Interior Alaska because our road system is relatively small compared to the state.
What's the best way to see Alaska? You mentioned the road, but then you always hear about these cruise ships and even ferries.
Well, the Inside Passage is great. That's Southeast Alaska. And a lot of people, and in fact, the majority of visitors to Alaska come by cruise ship. And they leave Vancouver, BC, and cruise up the Inside Passage. And they stop at these wonderful little small towns in Southeast Alaska. They cruise Glacier Bay, and then they'll often cruise across the Gulf of Alaska. Or you can take the state ferry. You can put your vehicle on the ferry and come on up.
And what about the train? I mean, that's always so romantic to take these train rides.
If you're in Skagway, you can take the White Pass and Yukon route. That's really a sightseeing trip, but it's absolutely fabulous. It's the original train tracks that the gold seekers came up on in the early 1900s. And that's a great, great trip. And then in Interior and South Central Alaska, the Alaska Railroad connects Seward down on the Kenai Peninsula with Anchorage and Fairbanks. So that's a wonderful trip.
Chris, when's the best time or the best season to travel to Alaska?
Well, you know, we're already experiencing long days because summer solstice is June 21st, and that's when, you know, we have things like the Midnight Sun Marathon. So they're very long days in May, June, and July, and then August, it's beautiful. The colors start turning up here in late August, early September. And so most people come late May, June, July, August.
Now, the Milepost mentioned some must-have experiences when visiting. One is bear viewing, which sounds a little dangerous, Chris. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, it's not dangerous because it's structured, but there are some fabulous opportunities to see bears in the wild, or you can see, if you want to be really safe, you can see bears that are in captivity, like Alaska Wildlife Conservation Center has a wonderful enclosure with grizzly bears, and you can get a few feet away. They're quite intimidating. Or you can fly out. You can fly out to these great places where the bears are just wandering around.
And do you have a guide with a gun, I hope? A big gun?
No, you know, they don't. They don't have guns. They read the bears pretty well, and they know what to do.
And they have sneakers on, and they can run fast and climb trees. But I guess bears can climb trees, too. So
yeah,
they can climb trees really well.
They can also run very fast.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Now, Chris, is it ever warm in Alaska? I mean, I want to know what to pack.
Well, it is. You know, we've had our cool, wet summers. You know, it's you never know what the summer's going to bring. But Fairbanks, for instance, and you know, up in north, which they have -40 in the winter, but in the summer it can be in the 80s, and it feels really hot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Very intense. The sunlight's very intense up north.
So we should definitely pack sun lotion and bikinis.
Well, yes, if you're incredibly an optimistic person, yes.
I'm not running from the bear in a bikini, Kathy. No way.
Tell us about glacier viewing. I have always wanted to do that. What's the best way?
The best way is to take a day cruise, and they go out of Seward. Again, that's 127 miles south of Anchorage. And that's one. You can see tidewater glaciers in Kenai Fjords National Park. You can also go to Whittier, which is less than an hour's drive from Anchorage. And you go out on these boats into Prince William Sound, and you see Columbia Glacier, which is huge. And they also take you up to some other glaciers. There's even a 26-glacier cruise that takes you to 26 glaciers. And then, of course, in Southeast, there's Glacier Bay. And a lot of the cruise ships will cruise Glacier Bay. So if you want to go into Glacier Bay, you check those itineraries and see if they include that on their route.
Now, what about accommodations? I mean, what about camping? If we're really into camping in the summer in those state parks, do they offer overnight campsites?
Oh yes, we have a great number of campgrounds, both private, you know, or where they have hookups for people with RVs and hot showers and laundry rooms, and then we have the state recreation sites, and those are more basic, but they're beautiful usually, and very inexpensive, $10-$12 for a night.
Oh, it sounds like our budget. Finally, Chris, what do you recommend for a once-in-a-lifetime experience to Alaska?
Well, I think everyone wants to see Denali or Mount McKinley. We call it Denali. And they go up to Denali National Park, and you can take the bus in. And it's quite an astounding landscape. It's so expansive, it's hard to even describe. And if the mountain's out, you're very lucky. And if you're very lucky, you'll also see bears, caribou, moose, doll sheep. So I don't think I'd miss Denali National Park. I think I'd put that at the top of my list.
Chris Valencia with The Milepost, Alaska's legendary travel guide. We babes can't wait to go there, and we're going to probably skip the bear viewing, but we're getting our bags packed.
Oh, good.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, the latest boomer trends in housing. Stay with us. Kathy, we're really great longtime friends, but would you ever consider moving into a group house with me? Be honest.
Well, only if I can bring my hubby and if I don't have to clean any bathrooms.
She drives a very hard bargain. But all kidding aside, a growing number of us boomers are turning to alternative living arrangements. The idea is to save money and find a renewed sense of connection and community. There are many variations on the theme, but all involve a communal living style, shared resources, services, and mutual support.
With us to talk about this growing trend of shared housing is Sally Abrams. She's an expert in aging and boomers. This award-winning writer blogs for AARP, The Huffington Post, and Forbes. She joins us on the phone from Boston. Great to have you with us, Sally.
I'm delighted to be here.
What exactly is shared housing?
It's when people get together and they live in the same house. It could be friends living together, could be multi-generational living.
So why would somebody want to do that? What are the benefits?
You just said it's a great way to save money and build community. As boomers are getting older, they are often living alone. In fact, one out of three boomers will face old age unmarried. And on top of that, you've got the loneliness, you've got a cheaper way to live, better digs than your own, because you can afford more if you pool resources, people to split chores with, lots of families are far away, others who care about you.
Right, so it's a sense of community. It's an instant community.
It is. It's a desire to age at home but not be isolated. And one last factor, the divorce rate has doubled since 1990 for the age 50-plus demographic. And I didn't even mention rising health care and housing costs or the recession.
Right. All the factors, I'm sure, are really pooling, you know, together for this kind of living situation. Now, are people mostly choosing single-sex communal living arrangements?
The people I interviewed were. There are other people, but it's more of a phenomenon for women because, let's face it, women are generally more social and love girlfriends. There are people who live in boy-girl arrangements. But one of the women I talked to who had done that, who now lives with other women, said that she's really delighted to be living with other women because she doesn't have to worry about what she looks like.
Sure, she can come out in the curlers. It kind of sounds like a throwback to the convent days, actually.
Or to the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
The Golden Girls, yes, and college, sort of.
I would think it would be kind of nice to have a mix because, I mean, all that testosterone or all that estrogen flying around, I mean, it seems like it'd be a nice little balance to have both of those hormones raging.
But then you might have smelly socks if you got the guys around.
All I know is that it is working for both sexes, but it's more common with women.
Now, Sally, say we want to start a group house. How do we go about finding people? Is there a place to advertise?
Some people do it on Craigslist. There are also services. Let me give you a couple of resources that would be great to have. There's sharinghousing.com. If you're a guy, the nationalsharedhousing.com is just a place to start. There are also meetups. You can rent a house together. You can own a house. You can own the house and have somebody come in and rent. Some people have dinners together once a week or meetings to discuss it, and some, they're all different. You can have rules. You can have contracts. And the rules can vary about overnight guests. So it works in a lot of ways. I interviewed three women who bought a house together, and it's working out very well for them. The one problem they're having is they bought it when they were in their 50s, and they're getting older, and they didn't think about that. So one of them is in the third floor with steep stairs and creaky knees. So I think you really need to think ahead, but it's an increasingly common and also fun, and it's a great way to save money and build community.
Writer and blogger Sally Abrams, thanks so much for joining the Two Boomer Babes.
Thank you.
Up next, summer movies for grown-ups, not to be missed. Stay with us.
Bailey Chase offers a lifestyle of flexibility and choice that provides you new opportunities to experience your independence and enrich your life. For more information about the lifestyle Bailey Chase offers, visit www.integrace.org. Equal housing opportunity.
Support comes from Accent on Travel, Rehoboth Beach, with a Viking Rhine River cruise with us, the Two Boomer Babes. For questions and reservations, 302-703-6154.
We babes love movies.
Especially the popcorn with tons of butter.
So we brought in our movie Boomer Dude to give us his best picks for summer releases.
Bill Newcott is the host of AARP's Movies for Grownups on radio, YouTube, and RLTV. And in his spare time, he writes movie reviews, an entertainment blog, and articles for AARP the magazine.
You know, it's a really tough job, but somebody's got to do it, I guess. Welcome, Bill, to Two Boomer Babes.
Hello, ladies. Nice to be here.
Well, you must have that dream job. And we sort of picture you sitting there on a comfy chair, popping popcorn with your little clickers, maybe some milk duds all around. Is that the case?
Well, have you been hiding in my living room? Is that what you do? Gosh. Yeah,
we have our spies.
It's a little bit of that. Actually, most of the year I go to screenings I don't see them at home. I go to screenings at theaters and over at the Motion Picture Association of America has a theater right over here. And we see previews of films.
Well, so do you get to go to the red carpet events? And do actors try to bribe you to give them good reviews?
No and no.
Oh.
Neither one of those.
Bill, you got to get on the list.
You get to eat a lot of candy.
In Washington, D.C., and in Washington, D.C. is a different kind of animal. And it's kind of nice, actually. There's a little less of that pressure, so we can be a little more aloof, perhaps. Now, we have a West Coast editor, Meg Grant, who you may know. And she, her job is to be in with the studios and the stars, and that's her job. My job is to sort of like to stand back and observe and comment and suggest what our readers and members might like to see or what they should maybe stay away from.
So how do you come up with your top picks? Do you do it by genre? How do you do it? Do you have a formula, secret formula?
There's no formula. We like to say we talk about movies that speak to a grown-up audience, which is actually a way of saying nothing. Basically, a film will come through, and I'll look at who's in it and what it's about. If it sometimes it's about a topic that's of interest to an older audience, sometimes it's a star who's been around for a long time that we are glad to see again, or the filmmakers, maybe just someone who makes intelligent, thoughtful films. What we're looking for are movies that challenge an audience and make an audience think, and I like to say the movies that are about something, And that's pretty much your definition of a movie for grownups.
Okay, so let's get down to business. We boomer babes are itching to hear what we should see this summer. So what about that Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, who I just love?
Aren't they funny?
There's a big buzz about that movie.
They are so adorable.
It's called The Interns. And it, again, those two guys, they're in their early 40s, I think, maybe approaching their mid-40s. So they're not really in our demographic. But it's a story about two guys who have been laid off from the careers that they had their whole lives, and they're trying to reinvent themselves, and they go work for Google. And it's sort of not a very good fit, and that's where the comedy all comes from in this film. But Vince Vaughn, and they're just the most appealing pair. From The Wedding Crashers, people who remember that film, they just have a great chemistry between them, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. And it's the same filmmaking team, same people who put that film together. And the whole idea of reinventing yourself, of reimagining what the rest of your life is going to be like, doesn't always happen voluntarily. In fact, these days it happens less and less voluntarily. And this is a film that addresses that. Everyone who's made this film has a great track record of making thoughtful yet hilariously funny comedy. And I have a feeling this is going to be a film that touches a lot of touchstones of people in our generation and maybe the generation just a little bit after us, of what life is like in this era of downsizing and realizing you can't retire yet. You have to find something else to do and finding the right thing to do.
And also reinvention at any age. It doesn't mean, oh gosh, I've retired, I'm in my 60s, I'm going to start all over. You can do it in your 40s and your 20s and your 30s, whenever.
That's right. There are sort of universal issues that seem to be writ larger, perhaps, for people who are 50 and over, because we have less time to settle ourselves, perhaps, into a new career. But again, I think this film is going to come close to approximating that in a way that, you know, Hollywood's a business, and they have to make movies that lots of people are going to go see. And frankly, if you're in your 40s in Hollywood terms, you're probably in your 60s in their minds. So it is about people later in life changing directions. So I'm looking forward to it. Gosh, I hope it's funny. I've been talking it up all summer. I hope it's as good
as I
hope it is.
Well, I can't wait to see it personally. Now, apparently another reinvention movie coming out is Superman. You know, that man in tights?
Yes. Well, that would mean more to you,
perhaps, than me. The
man of steel.
Is he steel? Yeah.
The big S on that bulging chest.
Oh, gosh.
The Man of Steel. And yes, that I'm looking forward to that film. It's a reimagining also of the Superman legend in some ways, although I understand it's going to be quite faithful to the roots of the original Superman story. But how many times now have we retold the beginning of the Superman story? You have the Christopher Reeve ones, and then you have the most recently, there was another one in the past decade with Eva Marie Saint playing the mom. And now here we go again. And the reason I think it's a good movie for our age group is because we have been watching Superman in all his incarnations, from George Reeves, the 1950s, and Phyllis Coates as Lois Lane, and Great Caesar's Ghost, and all, Perry White. And we've been through that. We've been through that. There were cartoon versions of it, then the Christopher Reeve reimagining of it. And we sort of can sit in judgment of all these versions. And we can say, well, that worked and that didn't work. And this part, I'm looking forward to sitting in the audience and being a little more judgmental than perhaps I might ordinarily be, because I bring a perspective to it, as does everyone else who has been following Superman for as long as we have. A lot of people, I mean, everyone knows Superman, but I have a feeling our generation gets to think about how he's defined, and we have a bit more invested in him, perhaps, than someone who's seeing the story for the first time.
And how he's evolving.
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to ask, is there going to be more of a love story between Lois Lane and Superman, I hope?
They say they're going to develop that more. But again, if you remember, was it Superman 2?
Mm-hmm.
When Christopher Reeve took her off to the Fortress of Solitude? I'm sorry.
How romantic.
My geekiness is showing. Yeah, pretty.
If my husband said, I'm taking you off to a Fortress of Solitude, I wouldn't be happy.
Well, it sounds nice. Yeah. When you get there, it's all ice.
Well, I got to tell you, for Superman, for me, just warms my heart, because I remember so vividly watching as a little girl, and my big brother dressed up and pretended to be Superman and actually jumped off a roof thinking he was Superman. Thank God it was a low roof.
It's funny, because the guy, kid who grew up next door to me, was a Superman fan too, and I believe he also jumped off the garage roof.
Oh, yeah.
Tied a towel around his neck, figured that would do it.
He
did. It's a cape, right?
Yeah.
That's right. With us is Bill Newcott, AARP's Movies for Grownups radio host, blogger, and entertainment writer. We're talking about his top picks for this summer's movie releases. Okay, Bill, we boomer babes love a good cry. Are there any good dramas out there with a happy ending, maybe?
I'm not going to tell you the endings of the movies because that's wrong. Because if I guarantee you a happy ending, then what's the point of going? So I can tell you, though, that there's a film called The Unfinished Song. It's opening June 21st with Terrence Stamp in it. It's very much in the vein of Quartet. I don't know if you saw Dustin Hoffman's film Quartet and Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. It's about a widower who out of a – he's kind of a gruff old guy, and he's now bitter because his wife died of his entire life. And so sort of as a grudging tribute to her, he joins this choir, this local choir that she was a part of. And what happens to him and how he is softened and the people that he encounters, it's a very heartwarming story. And Terrence Stamp is a wonderful actor. And I haven't seen this movie, but I understand from people who have seen it, and I'm really looking forward to it. Its pedigree is excellent. I think that's going to be a really heartwarming, nice story that people will really come away from. And it's nice to have a quiet little movie like that stuck right in the middle of the summer when, you know, the only trouble with that, of course, is you're sitting in the multiplex and next door, the world is exploding. In sense around, and you're watching the little tear jerking movie, and the walls are vibrating on you. So try to see it in a theater with thick walls.
It sounds like something good for a blistery hot day. We just want to stay inside and bring our tissues. Now listen, now this is for my marriage because my husband and I like.
How can I help?
Oh, good. You must be a good psychologist when it comes to movie psychologists, because we like vastly different types of movies. You know, he's all about the action and everything, and I'm about the romance or the comedy. So is there an action comedy coming out?
Well, actually, it's an interesting week because the two movies that week, Rest in Peace Department, RIPD, it's called. I didn't have much hope for this movie until I heard Jeff Bridges in it, because he doesn't pick bad scripts very often. So I'm looking forward to that, and that should be a fun action film. And the same week, Red 2 opens.
Ooh.
With Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren. And
she's fabulous.
And John Malkovich, the whole crew from the original. Red is an important film for us. Not an important film, perhaps, in film history. But for our generation, it is, because 2 years ago, that was the movie that enabled Hollywood to see the fact that you can have an action film with an older cast. It was sort of a throwaway film. They didn't know quite what to do with it. And they discovered that not only would we go to see that film, kids went to see that film, too, because a good action film is a good action film.
Now, do they do their own stunts?
Oh,
does Helen Mirren do her own stunts?
I mean, they'll stand behind a gun, like a big machine gun. And,
Barbara, it's Hollywood.
They don't do that.
But I don't think they're diving off.
Okay, so she's not popping these leaves and then jumping off a building or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, where's Johnny Depp these days? Will he reemerge this summer?
Johnny Depp. That's a loaded question. Yes. Ooh. Yes. Is there a summer?
Is there a summer without a Johnny Depp?
Is it Johnny Depp? Yes. Yes. I'm looking forward to this film. It's called The Lone Ranger. Ooh. Another franchise that you and I own from our childhoods.
And with Tonto?
Johnny Depp plays Tonto.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a horse.
No, Silver.
Oh, Silver. Sorry.
Silver's the horse, dummy.
Hi-O Silver.
Not Hi-O Tonto.
And what was Roy Rogers' horse name?
Give us
Ed.
That's Mr. Ed.
Trigger.
Trigger,
of course.
Trigger's stuffed. He's stuffed somewhere in the Midwest, isn't he?
Anyway, Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer playing the Lone Ranger and Tonto, and it's directed by the same guy who did all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. First time out, this is going to be great. I would not suggest they keep making them, because there's a diminishing return on these films. But the first one, I'm really looking forward to.
And we understand Johnny Depp could actually be a card-carrying member of AARP.
Yes. Yes, he just turned 50.
The big 5-0.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, Bill, I have just a craving for popcorn after this conversation.
Go get some.
It's been really fun. Bill Newcott, host of AARP's nationally syndicated radio program, Movies for Grownups. Thanks so much for joining us, babes.
This is fun. Can I come back?
Please come back. Up next, Shoot the Breeze with the Babes. We'll learn how to combine botany with booze. You gotta hear this one.
Bailey Chase offers a lifestyle of flexibility and choice that provides you new opportunities to experience your independence and enrich your life. For more information about the lifestyle Bailey Chase offers, visit www.integrace.org. Equal housing opportunity.
Support comes from Accent on Travel Rehoboth Beach with a Viking Rhine River cruise with us, the two Boomer Babes. For questions and reservations, 302-703-6154.
As a follow-on to our series, Beyond the Face of Alzheimer's, we'd like to let our listeners know about a new app developed by the University of Illinois at Chicago about dementia. The Dementia Guide mobile app has screening questions, resources, and management tips, which can provide invaluable information for caregivers and loved ones of persons with dementia.
The developers are looking for non-professionals to test the Dementia Guide mobile app and provide feedback. If interested in participating, please contact Dr. Valerie Gruss at 312-413-9000 or email vgruss, that's V-G-R-U-S-S, at uic.edu.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save...
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of...
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate... mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Horticulture, an intoxicating subject? Is there a correlation between a liquor store and a greenhouse?
Our guest, Amy Stewart, explores the odd, unusual, and surprisingly common plants that produce the world's greatest spirits. Her book is called The Drunken Botanist, Plants That Create the World's Greatest Drinks. She joins us on the phone from Eureka, California, to shoot the breeze with the babes. Great to have you with us, Amy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, how on earth did you get the idea for combining botany and booze?
Like many ideas, it was born in a bar.
Oh, yes.
I was talking with a friend of mine over this bottle of gin, and he was saying, you know, I'm not much of a gin drinker. And I said, how can you be interested in plants and not be into gin? Because there are so many strange and interesting plants that get distilled and put into this one bottle. And as the evening wore on, you know, I was like, you know what? All of the plants, all the bottles behind the bar, they're all filled with plants. And so as I was ranting, the idea for the book sort of came out.
Let's talk about some of the more classic drinks that we've enjoyed a time or two. And there's nothing better than a margarita on a hot summer day. So what plants are we drinking when we down one of those?
First of all, the agave. So the agave is a succulent that's native to Mexico. And in order to make tequila from it, they chop it out of the ground and roast the heart of it and crush it and ferment it and distill it. It's actually a really interesting process and a very unusual plant. But, you know, what else in a margarita? Also citrus, right, because there's triple sec or some kind of orange liqueur. And so that might be sugar cane, could be the base spirit as well as the sweetener in that. And then probably the peels of a very bitter orange that's used to flavor that orange liqueur. The Spaniards brought sweet oranges to the Caribbean, and it turned out they produced terrible fruit, but the peel was actually still very good. So, you know, that and lime juice, and there's your margarita.
You sound like you would make a great bartender with all your knowledge.
Pretty good bartender.
Well, let's talk about the Manhattan, which our moms enjoyed nightly. They just love their Manhattan, and it's actually really coming back into vogue. There are a lot of plants in that concoction, right?
Easily 20 plants.
Wow.
You know, so first, you have the bourbon, which has got corn and probably rye and barley, maybe a little wheat. The vermouth, which is obviously made from grapes and then has maybe a dozen different plants flavoring it. And Angostura bitters is made from kind of a mysterious and secret blend of herbs and spices. But there's easily another, you know, 5 or 10 plants in that. And then, of course, you have to include the cherry, which is yet another plant. So it gets up there.
And the cherry, of course, is the best part, of course.
Once it's been sitting in that bourbon long enough.
Absolutely. And Amy, can we have a cocktail plants? Can we have a cocktail garden in our own backyard? And how easy is that to do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got a great garden of cocktail-friendly plants. You know, it really depends on where you live, but obviously there's a lot of herbs and fruits and vegetables and even some fruit trees and berries that you can grow just for drinks. For instance, I'm growing black currants, which are used to make cassis in France. And not a lot of people in the U.S. grow it, but that's a fun thing to experiment with if you're a gardener.
Well, and if you like mint juleps, mint is like a, you know, a weed. It grows so easily.
Well, it is, and there are a few really specific varieties that are worth growing. There's a Kentucky Colonel, which is a southern strain of spearmint used in mint juleps. And then there's Mojito Mint, which is actually from Cuba, and it's the mint that they use to make mojitos in Cuba.
Ooh, I'm going to plant that one. Amy Stewart, author of The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Greatest Spirits. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for shooting the breeze with the babes.
Oh, thank you.
Bailey Chase offers a lifestyle of flexibility and choice that provides you new opportunities to experience your independence and enrich your life. For more information about the lifestyle Bailey Chase offers, visit www.integrace.org. Equal housing opportunity.
A few years back, We Babes did a story about this amazing place in Florida called Veterans Farm, which provides employment, purpose, and healing to veterans. It was such an inspiring place, we found it fitting to share it with you again. Started by Purple Heart recipient Adam Burke, who was badly injured in Iraq, this soldier turned farmer invites veterans, some of them disabled, to work and live on the farm.
In exchange, returning soldiers are employed, learn new skills, and are provided a kind of sanctuary to heal, both physically and emotionally, with others who have gone through similar experiences. It's quite a place. Adam joins us on the phone from the farm in Webster, Florida, to talk about this special haven that not only helps wounded soldiers, but honors those who have perished. Delighted to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Adam, so 10 years ago, you were an infantryman in Iraq, but 2 weeks before you were set to go home, you were badly injured. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, in 2004, we were on a mission in the Sunni Triangle. We were clearing houses and going house to house, and as one of my guys crossed the street, he was hit by a sniper attack. And as I ran out across the street to go pull him to cover, started raining in on mortars. And I took shrapnel from that to my head and to my legs, and that's where I was injured at. You know, I spent a lot of time when I come back to the States recovering from those injuries.
And then, Adam, we understand that your wife, Michelle, helped you heal and recover, but it wasn't an easy recovery, was it? It must have been very difficult.
Well, it was difficult. You know, one of the things I struggled with, because being a young athletic guy that had the world by the horns, to come back and to be physically challenged, mentally challenged, and spiritually broken, that was hard. Definitely difficult for me, and that's what we see so many guys facing and challenged with.
I love the story where you began working, after you were wounded, you began working in the field, but you were working even with a cane, and you began to slowly feel better. Can you tell us about that?
It's one of those things about the therapy that you don't realize that you're receiving, the horticulture therapy aspect. It's not going to a clinic and squeezing the ball for 15 minutes and then doing repetitious stuff and you drive back home. It's out working and smiling and laughing. And laughter is the healing component of PTSD and your spiritual well-being. And I truly believe that. And it was the idea that developed that the farming, the horticulture therapy, and doing research based on that is really what brought it together, thinking about something that is sustainable, that is therapeutic and educational, all in the same sense. So sustainable agriculture is creating sustainable lives. And guys can learn a new skill set and something. They can go out and employ themselves and provide a financial means for their family and provide fresh food for our communities. And so I started making phone call after phone call. I had this idea that everybody would be on board and everybody could see my vision, but it wasn't the way. You know, this was before any farming vocation or rehabilitation was out there. There was nothing like this. Really, since like World War II, when they used to do a little bit of that horticulture therapy back in the days. So I was rejected thousands of times, knocking on doors, calling, emailing, until one day I spoke to Michael O'Gorman from the Farmers Veterans Coalition, and I'd already made the sacrifice to move my wife and I into a travel trailer to save our funding so I could start taking my own disability pay and start funding it. I believed in it. I'm going to put some skin in the game, and I'm going to show people this is what we can do, and if they can help me, that's even better. And he believed in the idea. So he came out, he drove out. I was still walking with the cane. He drove out and sat with me and says, I'm going to add $5,000 of my own money out of my own pocket because I believe in your idea of what you want to do. And that was the seed money that helped us get started with our first farm with the blueberries there.
Well, so, Adam, how many vets now work on the farm?
Well, we've had over 32 graduates from our program to date. And we normally have 5 or 6 veterans at our location. And then, you know, each one of them that graduates, they may go off and, you know, start their own farm. We had a graduate just recently who's starting a equine therapy and horticulture therapy program, not only for veterans, but for veterans to work with abused children. So we've inspired these guys to go out as a domino effect to go out and do this in their counties. So we're proud to see the guys who are paying it for it.
And then some of them, you said, actually have gone out and wanted to start their own farm and become farmers for a living?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had several guys who've gone out, start their own farms. Some have gone into forestry. Some have gone to college to extend their education through agribusiness. Various fields. It doesn't just have to be in farming, but we provide a framework. We teach them just how to structure their life again, give them the therapy and the tools, things they need to be successful in the community.
Well, Adam Burke, founder of Veterans Farm, best of luck to you. We think this is just a fabulous idea. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Support comes from Accent on Travel Rehoboth Beach with a Viking Rhine River cruise with us, the two Boomer Babes. For questions and reservations, 302-703-6154. And now it's time for us babes to give credit where credit is due.
Audio and technical guru Julio Gonzalez, who magically pulls it all together.
Webmaster wizard Gail Jane, who makes TwoBoomerBabes.com a fab place to visit.
Founding members of the Chicago chapter of the Two Boomer Babes Supper Club, Mike and Larry Israel, for your unfailing love and support.
Our husbands, daughters, family, and friends, even with smirks and eye rolls, who encourage us all the way.
And give us great material, often without knowing it.
Our moms and upstairs directors, Jane and Sally, who are cheering us on from their bridge game in the sky.
Our home away from home, Delmarva Public Radio. And to you, our listeners, for joining us each week and spurring us on.
Two Boomer Babes is a production of Two Boomer Babes Media in collaboration with Zymer Communications.